Hello, True North. It's Friday, May 8th. My name is Jay, and welcome to True North Daily. On April 29th, 1992, I was sitting in my 6th grade homeroom class, watching along with all of my classmates as the verdict of four LAPD police officers who were caught on film brutally beating an unarmed black man was being announced. In an era when there was no such thing as smartphones, the chance that a person would have a video recorder available and to catch this act on film was absolutely incredible. And even before the internet and social media, this clip went viral. It was on every channel, on every news outlet, being played over and over again every day for what felt like months. The image of four police officers surrounding the victim, Rodney King, and swinging their billy clubs at his face and body will never be forgotten. And as a young sixth grader growing up in the suburbs of Orange County, California, this was the first time me witnessing this type of injustice. Now, don't get me wrong. Growing up as an Asian immigrant in Orange County in the 80s and 90s meant I had my run-ins with ignorance and racism. But this was the first time that I saw the good guys, or the people who were sworn to protect, would actually be the ones to carry out injustice. And I was naive back then. I believed that this was an exceptional case, that it was out of the ordinary, that the world could not possibly be this bad. That is how sheltered I was. 28 years later, I sit tired, angry, and once again deeply saddened by news of racism and injustice that still exists in our world, and particularly in our country. I am sure that most of you have heard the news, but for those who haven't heard, news broke this week as a video surfaced showing a young black man being chased down by a truck and then shot and killed. The victim was 25-year-old Ahmaud Arbery, and the assailants were Gregory and Travis McMichael. The father, who was an ex-police officer, and the son believed that Arbery fit the description of a man who was committing robberies in the area, and took it upon themselves to make a citizen's arrest. In the past week, the video has surfaced, and that there's been an outcry for justice as another innocent unarmed black male was shot and killed. Just yesterday, the McMichaels were arrested, and though that it seems like a step forward in the right direction, it is completely unforgivable when knowing that this murder took place in late February. That's right. The McMichaels were not charged. They were not arrested for over 2 months. And it is only after the video leaked that the state of Georgia finally decided to do the right thing. So the question is, what should the response of Christians be to the injustice that exists in our world? What does the Bible say we should do? When the Old Testament, in the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8, it says this, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly before your God." So what does the Lord require of us? It says plainly to do justice. The word justice is the Hebrew word mishpat. It means to treat every person equitably. That when punishment is given, it must be given equally regardless of race, creed, and gender. But it doesn't only speak about punishment. It also means to give people their rights. To do justice is the social obligation that we have to make sure that everyone is getting what they rightly deserve. So when there is a group of people, or when there is an individual that is being oppressed, mistreated, taken advantage of, our call as followers of Jesus Christ is to stand firm and do justice. So what does that look like? I mean, there's a lot of definitions and there's a lot of ways we can see this, but the applicable and tangible thing that I want us to think about is this. First, it means we do not ignore injustice. I don't mean that we have to post articles or rants all over our social media. though if you choose to do that, that is okay. But what I mean is this, that individually or as a family, that you confront what is happening and wrestle with it even at the expense of our own comfort and peace. What we have to understand is this, that if you have the option to ignore something like this event, it is only possible because you are in a position to do so. Black families do not have the privilege to ignore this. They will have to address it to their children, to their coworkers, to their fellow church members. By ignoring it, we are not doing right by those who are truly affected. Second, it means we also confess our own biases, our own fears, and the privilege we receive at the expense of those that are oppressed. Injustice has a way of clearly exposing those who benefit from this unrighteousness. And I will be honest, I have been pulled over many times, both before my conversion and after my conversion. And I'm telling you, those times when I was pulled over before I was converted to follow Jesus, I should have been fearing for my life. But never once have I ever had to deal with the fear that the encounter with the police would be my last day that I would be alive. And Micah goes on to say, on top of doing justice, also to love kindness. The word here is hesed, and this word is the word that describes the covenantal love that exists between God and Israel. So this love, this hesed, is not speaking of an emotional feeling of liking someone, but is speaking of the act of being loyal to the commitment and promise to live in a covenantal relationship with God. And to fulfill this hesed, this covenant, not only do we love God, but we love those around us. What God was communicating to his people, to the people of Israel, was simple, but it was a very pointed statement. If you want to be loyal to the covenant I have made with you, then you must treat others with justice. For the people that you oppress, the people that you take advantage of, the people that you rob, the people that you do not stand up for, are people whom I have also made a covenant with. When we fail to do justice, we fail to keep our covenant with God, for we hurt the very people whom God loves. The duty of Hesed is to live out the deep commitment of a covenantal relationship with God and with God's community. The final requirement is this, for us to walk humbly with God. This is a warning to those who live life presumptuously, doing things their own way instead of living according to God's will. This is a warning to those who seek to live life believing that they are somehow superior to others, when in reality, we are all the same in God's eyes. A person who is truly in relationship with God will understand in humility that they are no better than anyone else, and only by the grace and beauty and mercy of God are we saved. Let us pray. Father, help us to do justice. Help us to help those that are most vulnerable. And we pray for our nation. We pray for the injustice that still exists, and for those that are oppressed, and for those that are living in fear and anger and a pain, Lord. I pray that you would bring peace upon them. And I pray, Father, for Ahmad and his family, God, that they would receive justice, that they would receive your comfort, and that they would receive the support of all those who call you our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.